Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Before I reflect, offer a reflection on the gospel and our situation here at this particular moment, just thought I would mention something about the conclave, the upcoming conclave and election of the Holy Father, because later on today we're going to be following the life and the faith of St. Peter. But one of the interesting things that takes place at the conclave, and this was shared with me by Cardinal Regali, who was at the election of Pope Benedict XVI, and he was saying, talking about some of the very moving aspects of that conclave. First thing is once that they reach the votes, and someone does have the majority votes needed, the cardinal goes before that person and says, "Do you accept?" And soon as he says yes, he accepts. He is the Pope. Just by his confession of faith. And then he asks, what name will you take? And the new Holy Father will state what name he wishes to be known as. And then he leaves the cardinals. He goes back into a room which they call the room of tears, because they say the emotion of it all so much overwhelms the newly elected Pope that many a tear has been shed in that room. And he vests in white cassock. And he comes back in the midst of the cardinals, and he goes up to his chair. And as a part of the ceremony, of course, the cardinals will all come, and they'll together make a profession of faith and an oath of fidelity to the new Holy Father. But one of the cardinals will come and face the new Pope and remember and read from Scripture that moment where Jesus says, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." I remember His Eminence saying it was one of the most moving things. It became so real to him that here is the new successor of Peter standing there and being told the same thing: "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." That's been in my mind. I just thought I'd share that little incident with you as we go through these days, and hopefully in the not too distant future we'll be receiving word of who that next Peter really is. Here we are in this beautiful setting, recalling the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is recorded in three chapters of Matthew's Gospel. It's a total of 111 verses. And the Beatitudes are only 12 of those verses. The Beatitudes are only one-tenth of what Jesus taught here on this mountain. And I sometimes think that perhaps, I don't want to tell Jesus how to preach, you know? But maybe it would have been helpful for him to say the second half of his teaching first. Because what happens is we all gather in on those words, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the single-hearted. And we center in and concentrate on the Beatitudes. But it's later on in the Lord's homily that he gives us those practical situations that allow us to be in that position of blessedness. And that's a harder message. The second half of the teaching is a much more difficult message. You've heard, I tell you. You've heard, and I tell you. You have heard, do not murder. I tell you, don't be angry. You've been told, you've heard that you shall not commit adultery. I tell you, you should not have lustful thoughts. Jesus, in that second half of the Beatitude, of the Sermon on the Mount, is giving the ingredients of what it means to be blessed. And I know sometimes I take comfort in just listening to the Beatitudes. And what I don't often do is check myself and say, am I rashly considering myself blessed before I've considered what Jesus is saying is the ingredients of a blessed life? And so it's the total picture of what Jesus was presenting here on this mountainside. And then he concludes those three chapters, his teaching here. The St. Matthew concludes it, what the impression of the people is. And he says they marvel at Jesus because he teaches with authority and not as the scribes and Pharisees. Well, didn't the scribes and Pharisees consider themselves the authority? I mean, if anybody spoke with authority, it was the scribes and the Pharisees. And I've often, in my own reflection, seen this distinction, that Jesus taught with authority, not as an authority. Jesus spoke with the authority of his Father. Jesus spoke with authority, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit. It was not an authority that came from just within himself. It was an authority of being one with the Heavenly Father. And speaking as one with the Godhead, people's hearts were touched by the power of his speech. The Pharisees and the scribes, when they would speak, it was really coming from themselves. They had earned the right to be the authority, and so their words were coming from within themselves. The Romans and the Roman leaders, they were speaking as if they were the authority. But Jesus didn't speak as the authority. He spoke with authority. He spoke as one with his Heavenly Father. And because of that, the power of the Spirit moved the hearts of his listeners such that they could see the difference. He speaks with authority, not like the scribes and the Pharisees, a different authority. And as we come full circle then to our Holy Father, the cardinals and the bishops of the church, isn't that what we're called to do? We hold positions of authority within the church, but we don't speak from our own authority. I don't create my own theology. I don't create my own church teaching. I am truly truthful when I speak one with authority, with the authority of the church, with the authority of the Holy Father, with the authority of Jesus Christ, with the authority of God the Father. When we speak with the authority of God, the power of our word has great efficaciousness. So as we are really honored and privileged to be here, I began Mass, I just thought, what an overwhelming experience it is for me to be celebrating at this altar and speaking to you today in a similar way that Jesus would have spoken to the crowds. And I constantly remind myself that it's not my teaching, it's not my church. As the bishop, certainly I have a position of authority, but I must always speak with authority. I must speak with the church, with the Holy Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, because therein is the power and the grace that will truly move hearts. And so as we continue in this celebration, I think all of us together must appreciate and understand what it means to be one with the word and the teaching of the church, of the Holy Father, of the Scriptures, of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are one with that word. And therein is the power and grace of God. God love you.